his mercy to us. Appreciate the Lord's goodness. Thankful for the new addition to the congregation. The Lord blessed. Our subject this morning is the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God does that. The scripture says in Romans 2 and 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What people don't understand is that the goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering of God is what gives them all the time they need to be led to repentance. If it wasn't for the goodness of God, people would not be able to survive this life. If it wasn't for God's goodness. If it wasn't for the fact that he comes in on the scene in all of our aspects in our life, even before we know the Lord is working in our lives. He's forbearing with us. He's long-suffering with us. And he helps us from time to time. The scripture says, in Matthew 5, it says that he rains on the just and the unjust. He maketh his sun to rise upon the evil and upon the good. In other words, God cares about every human being, not just his ones that have yielded to him. He cares about the ones that haven't yet yielded to him. And his goodness, he shows his goodness to them all the time. It says that the scriptures plainly let us know that God cares about humanity. And that he has set a plan into place to give humanity what they need to be able to make it all the way through and make it to heaven to live with him. I'm thankful that God knows how to do that. I'm thankful that he knows each personality. He knows each person and the way they think and the way they operate and their weaknesses and all those things. So he tailor designs things for them to give them the best opportunity possible for them to be able to make it all the way. I was thinking about how that there are many out in the world that are have habits, are they're under the influence of alcohol and drugs and all manner of other sinful things. They're just so under the influence of it that they can't break away. Horrible habits that they have come up underneath. And from time to time, you hear about somebody that has gotten clean. You hear about it. We've heard about it. And we realize that that is the goodness of God. That even before a man is saved, that God's goodness reaches out to help them when they make an effort to and begin to realize how bad their conditions are, and they begin to want to move out of those conditions. God sends help. There are many programs out there that people sign up for and all, and in all of those programs, all of them, just about all of them, say, reach for, you're going to need a higher power. Almost all of them do. They don't tell you that it has to be God. But there is only one higher power. And that is God. So, but the point is that they begin to make changes in their life. And the reason that God comes in and helps them is because he's trying to lead them to repentance. He's trying to get them free enough that they can think clearly enough to make a decision that they need to make, which is to serve the Lord. So the Lord steps in, and many people are very proud of the fact, you know, you've had some people that have been clean for, you know, 40 years, 50 years, you know, and they are very, usually still very involved with the organization that helped them get clean. And, but they have forgotten about God. They have forgotten about the higher power that in the beginning they told them they were going to need in order to make it all the way through. They feel very good about the changes they're making in their life. But I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't for God, they could not make a change in their life. Do you think the devil wants to give up a soul? Do you think he wants to turn loose of somebody that he has under the influence of these habits? Does he want to do that? What do you think has happened? God has stepped in and he has pushed the enemy back and said, "You can't." And he gives them space to be able to come out, to get clear, to come out. But how many of them realize that it is God, because it is only God putting his hand against the enemy that has saved them from those things? Sometimes they get very proud of where they're at and all. But if they don't start thinking about God, and if they don't start thinking about the changes they need to make in their life, they are either going to be an alcoholic forever that goes to meetings to keep clean, or they are going to go back to alcohol. Or a drug addict that stays clean forever because they keep in the meetings, people keep talking to them, they're, you know, constantly, in other words, and they'll never tell you that they're not an addict. They will never tell you they're free. How do they know? Because they know how close they come all the time to just giving up and to going back and to having just one, just doing it once, just a little. They know how close they are. They will never say, "I am free." But God is different. God brings a real true deliverance from those things. So the problem is that so many people are out there caught in horrible places, caught in horrible situations. And they begin to look at their lives, they begin to see, and they begin to make changes. But if those changes do not lead them to God, it is not very likely that they will stay free. The statistics are real. And the statistics say that not very many of them stay free. That most of them go back. Because they have no power. The reason they could do it was because God put his hand against the devil and said, "You can't work here right now. I'm working here." And that's why they had a measure of success. And that's why they were able to get free. God sees the desires and the cries of the person's heart. They see the moments when they say, "Why am I doing this again? Why am I, every time I do this, I know this happens. Why am I giving into it? Why am I doing this over and over?" And they despair of their life, and they despair of ever having a normal life. And they at some point, the Lord inspires them to try to make a change. And then God backs them. He backs them. And he holds the devil at bay. Just like he did with Job. And he says, "You can't take his life. You can't take his life." And that's what God does. "You can't deal with him about this. I'm holding you back. And I'm going to let him have a measure of success." And then what is the Lord going to do? He's going to talk to him. He's going to talk to him about the things that they've been doing wrong. Going to talk to them about the things they need to change. Other things in their lives. And they may move on to other things. But in the end, it's all measured out by God to help a person get to Him. Because wrapped up in those habits, they cannot get to Him. There's no way to get there. And God tries to help them to be able to get there. He is such a great God. The goodness, see, of God leads men to repentance. His goodness, when He makes the devil leave them alone so that they have a measure of success, so that He has a chance to talk to them with a clear mind. It is so good of God to do that because He didn't have to. He talked to them plenty of times before they ever got into those habits. He talked to them a lot. They already have rejected Him many times before they even got there to those habits. But the goodness of God sees the crying and the anguish of the soul, and He sees what they're going through and how they're reacting and what is happening to them. And they begin to cry out and despair. And God comes in and blesses them. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by the grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves." In other words, you didn't do this by yourself. It is the gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." See, there are many that have gotten free and they boast very high. They talk about how you just need to have some determination, and you need to have this, and you need to have that. Little knowing that God is the one that stayed the enemy for them to get out. Little knowing that it wasn't them being able to have all of a sudden all this power and strength. Oh no. It was because the Lord held the enemy back. It's not something that he didn't want us to boast about it. He didn't want us to come to a place to where we felt like we had done this all on our own. Sometimes when a person gets clear and can think clear-headed again, it may have been years since he's been able to hear clearly what the Lord was saying. It may have been years since he had a clear enough mind to be able to decipher between good and evil. It may have been years since he had been able to think rationally. You know, sometimes we were talking in Sunday school how, you know, it just seems like it makes sense. You'd think that people just, they it would just make sense to them. No, when you're bound by those habits and those things, nothing makes sense to you. You're not in a place to make sense out of things. But there is a woe in these things, that when God begins a work, when God begins to show His goodness to somebody and helps them, holds back the enemy, gives them some strength, blesses them, shows them goodness, that it is meant to draw them the rest of the way into God. And if they continue to reject God, it won't be long before that power is gone. It won't be long before the Lord has to step out of the devil's way. It won't be long. And they will run back to those same things. Why? It's because it says in Ephesians 6 about the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Without the armor, you have no power against the wiles of the devil. He's telling us plainly. You have to have the armor to be able to live a good life. It's the only way. Without the armor. So, if the Lord has wonderfully blessed me, put a hedge around me, helped me to be able to lift myself up out of a place, helps me to believe that I can keep this. But if my mind doesn't turn to the higher power, if my mind doesn't really go all the way there and begin to thank God for helping me to do this, that it isn't my own strength, And I know it's not my own strength because I couldn't do it before and I wanted to before. How come all of a sudden now I can? Because God has come in on the scene and He has shown you goodness. He has shown you mercy and helped you to be able to get clear. See, we don't wrestle. This scripture tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, that isn't what we're wrestling against. We're wrestling against the enemy, the powers of darkness, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness. That's what we're fighting against. That wickedness comes against us all the time. If it wasn't for the Lord, we would be consumed with that wickedness. But what people do is they begin to make a change. God begins to bless them and help them and hold the enemy back so that they can come out and get a clear head and a clear mind. But if they don't put anything on, if they don't put anything on, how are they going to stand? How are they going to fight these principalities and this darkness and all without armor? It's just the Lord that's holding it back right now. How are they going to fight without armor? How are they going to fight without the sword? Oh, they have a sword, probably. They might have even a Bible sitting in their house, but they don't wield it. They don't use it. They don't read it. They don't study it. They don't do any of those things. So they don't have a sword. They don't have on a breastplate of righteousness because the rest of their life isn't righteous. It's just this one area that they're coming up and out of. But the rest of their life is not righteous. So they don't have on a breastplate to keep from being slain by the enemy, to keep those fiery darts from hitting at your heart. They don't have that. They they don't have on the helmet of salvation. They don't have on the helmet of salvation. So they have nothing to protect their mind. Nothing to protect the enemy being able to come in, except that right now, for a season, God has stepped in. He is holding those powers back so that they can come clean. They can come out. They can get up. They can feel like that they can make it. They get an encouragement. They get some hope in them. And they're so happy to be able to make this change. But if it doesn't lead all the way to salvation, the statistics say it isn't going to last. God's goodness is meant to lead us to repentance. That's what it's meant for, to lead us there. So this armor, we got to have this armor. To stand against the devil, we have to have this armor. It comes through salvation. That's how we get the armor, salvation. Otherwise, we are somebody out there on a battlefield with no protection. And right now, the Lord has cleared this little space around us. There's this big battle going on, and He's cleared this little space around us and put a hedge around us, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, and we're feeling like, I'm conquering this. I'm getting free of this drug habit or this drink habit or some of this, you know, some other bad habit, something that they need to get clear of, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. But they're out in the battlefield. And the Lord has just put a hedge around them. But if they don't begin to thank God, and they don't begin to make steps towards Him, if they don't begin to go forward and to look for Him and be able to yield themselves all to Him. Because you know something? Sometimes people, they get hooked by this habit. They don't like this habit, but they don't mind so much the other sins in their life. So this habit really bothers them. This habit maybe gets them in trouble. This habit, you know, sometimes puts them in jail. This habit causes them to lose relationships. This habit causes all these kinds of things to happen. So I want rid of this. It's affecting my whole life. But I like my other sins. I like living in those other places. I don't see the, you know, the danger in those places. I don't see everything that's happening there. So I'm very thankful that I'm getting free of this, but I can't thank God too much for it. Because if I do, I have to admit that there's a whole lot of other places in my life that I need to turn over to Him and let Him correct. And I'm comfortable with those. I like those. Those haven't put me in jail, and those haven't wrecked this or wrecked that. I want to keep those. I just want free of this one. You know, God is so merciful and so good. Amen. And He will talk to people and deal with people. And He will work with them for a long time. He will work with them for a long time. But then, like my one son told me, he says, "The truth of the matter is, Mom, I'm not ready." And you know, that's what happens. No matter how much God may have tried to help, no matter how much He parted the ways for them to have some, get free of some things, no matter how much mercy He showed them and favor and helped in things that are amazing that God would do for a sinner. But see, He loves the sinner. He loves him. He sees that he's all caught up. He sees that he has no power. He sees all of that. He knows that they can't change on their own. So God is looking down, and He's trying to help everybody. And from time to time, your friends or your family or an acquaintance of yours will start making some steps for the good. You've seen it. You've seen it. And you're looking at it and you're going, wow, they're really working on themselves. They're really going forward. They're really, you know, trying to change some things. And you begin to have some hope, right? You begin to have some hope, and you start praying and saying, "Lord, you know, they're doing so good in this, and they're making some changes, and that's good. But Lord, you know, they need to go all the way." They need to get saved. They need to turn their life over to God. That's what needs to happen. But instead, they just want free of the thing they want free. And they want to keep all their other things. And so God works with them for a while. And then there's only so long that you can reject the Lord. Because trust me, He starts talking to him. He doesn't talk to him just about the thing that they want to be free of. He talks to him about some other things. They may not tell you about it, but He's talking to them about some other things. And as long as they keep admitting to the Lord, "Yeah, I need help with that too. I don't need to be there anymore. I need to come out of that too." He'll keep helping them. Trying to draw them to Himself. Trying to help them. Yeah. But when they start saying, "Oh, I don't see, nothing wrong with that. And, I'm thinking clearer now. And I think I'll be able to do this now. And I think I'll have some power for this now. And, you know, because I'm getting kind of feeling pretty strong. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm doing pretty good and I'm feeling pretty strong." But what they don't realize is that the Lord is holding back the enemy. He's just holding him back. And they're about to rush back in. They're about to rush back in because you can only reject the Lord so long before He has to go. Why? Because He doesn't force Himself on you. He will not force Himself on you. He will not force anything on you. He cannot hold back the enemy forever. You remember what the enemy said when he was talking about Job? He says, "Well, you have a hedge around him. That's the only reason he's serving you. That's the only reason he's doing this or that. And the Lord took the hedge away. How much more so does the enemy have ground to stand on before God? When I only want help with this one thing in my life and the rest I want to keep. How can the Lord say no to the enemy? You can't come here, because that would be not giving the person their free will. See, they get to have the free will. But the goodness of God, He comes in all of our lives. Just think back over your life. You will be able to recognize some places where the Lord came in and held back the enemy, held back the tide of things that were going, held back death, held back bad things. And you realize later, oh, I could have been in so much trouble. And you realize, you know, back then you didn't realize, but now looking back over your life, you see all the times that the Lord came in and held back Satan to where you could escape the trap that the enemy had for you. And that's what happens. And people get very, very lifted up in their own spirit, thinking that I've done this. And many times, there are people that then dedicate their lives to helping others. Many of them become leaders in organizations and all kinds of places because they've had success. But they have to give God the glory for that success. That's the reason they had success. And if they don't tell other people that it was God that helped me, the other people are going to be very disappointed, because they may not have the same things happen to them. They may not have the same power. And they're going to look at you and say, well, how did you do it? And if you don't give God the glory, then how are they going to know that it's going to take more than just me making up my mind? It's going to take more than me just having discipline. It's going to take more than me following rules and steps and all these things. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take me having some power over the enemy. Because the enemy got me there, and he wants to keep me there. And I'm going to have some kind of weaponry to hold against him. And myself is not a good enough weapon. Without all of the armor that God puts on us, we are not a good weapon against the enemy. We don't have anything to do to work against the enemy without God's weaponry. And so people get the wrong idea about what is happening in their life. And they miss their opportunities to make it all the way to the Lord. Romans 2, 5 and 6, it says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. The hardness and impenitent heart. Oh yeah, I want free. Because this is keeping me from going forward. This is keeping me from having a regular life. This is really keeping me from... But all I want is just, I just want free from there. Because I still see have a hard and impenitent heart. I'm non-repentant for the way I have lived. I'm non-repentant for the things that I have done. I'm non-repentant for the things that led me down this path that I got all caught up in some kind of habit. I'm non-repentant for that. I call it, you know, I had a bad break. I call it, I had bad friends. I call it a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is, it was your unrepentant heart that led you down those roads. And unless you repent, that unrepentant heart is going to be alive and well. And it's going to keep leading you down the wrong path because you have no repentance of the things that you've done in this body. The things that were so wrong. And you knew they were wrong. Because we're going to be judged by the deeds done in our body. Not just about the nice things we think. Not about the nice things we think. You know, everybody thinks pretty highly of themselves. Out there in the world, they think pretty highly of themselves. I'm a good person. Most people will tell you they're a good person. You know. And then they'll cite you some cases. They'll cite you some things along the way that prove it. You know, so and so happened and this and that and everything. And I, da 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 da. And that proves I'm a good person. But yet, I can go off in secret and do all kinds of things that I know are wrong. And it doesn't matter if I do that. But we're going to be judged according to the deeds in the body. And God looks down and He looks at your unrepentant heart. He looks at how hard your heart is. He sees that there begins to be a crack in your hardness. Where you begin to think a little different. And you begin to have some thoughts towards the right kind of thinking. And He sees if there's that. He sees if there begins to be a little bit of something going on in your heart where you're a little bit sorry for some things. He sees that. When God sees those kind of things start to show up, He does something. He doesn't just stand off and say, well, let's see how far they can go. Because He knows they can't go very far. Without His help, they can't go very far. The devil's against them because the devil sees those cracks too. And he's going to redouble his efforts. So what does the Lord do? He comes in and He holds back Satan and says, no, let him be. Let's see how far this is going to go. Let's see if he's going to go. And then he begins to talk to him and draw him. And he lets some good things happen. All of a sudden, they get a job they've been looking for. And they get it. Do they think in their own minds, do they think, well, I got this on my own merit? Or are they a little bit thankful? Do they say things like, well, you know, my mom, she was praying for me. That's how come I got it. You know, do they start to think, see along the right kind of lines that lead them to God? If they begin to do that, then God keeps holding back Satan and keeps drawing them and tries to show them goodness and blessings and help. But in the middle of that, if they all decide to go out with their friends and indulge in horrible sin, the Lord has to take His hands off and back up. He can't go with them into those kind of places. See, He can go with them as long as they're making some things, some places in their minds available for Him to work with. But when they decide, I'm going to go off over here and do this thing, and I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, and oh, we're going to have fun, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and the Lord just has to back up. And then something bad happens, and before you know it, they've lost that good job that God was so good to let him have. See, the goodness of God is designed to draw men to repentance. And He works with them and bless as a blessing to them and holds the enemy back so that they can get somewhere. He's such a good God. He's so good. They're not even fully serving Him yet. But He's looking to bring them that way. But if it doesn't lead that way, He's going to turn them loose. He has to. Because they get to choose. They get to choose. As long as they were choosing repentant things, as long as they were choosing feeling sorrow for some of the things, as long as they were choosing to realize, I need to change these things in my life, as long as they were choosing towards God, He's right there to help them. But when they begin to back up, And they begin to go off and just do the things and revel in the things of the enemy. He has to let them go. Second Peter 3:9-11. Very familiar passage of scripture. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. See, he's made a promise that he's coming back. Yeah. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Yeah. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that's God's will. And he's long suffering with this. Oh, I'm telling you, God goes way further for us than we do for each other. He goes way further for us. He puts up with things. Even after you're saved, you ever gotten to a place where God shows you something about yourself and you can't believe that God saw this all the time and he treated you so good? He was so good. See, God, that's who God is. Some people here in the world, they're all on your side. They're all on your side till something ugly comes out. And then all of a sudden, they're all against you now. Because something ugly came out. But do you know, sometimes something ugly can come out and God will help us through it. And we're so thankful. But because he's long-suffering to us, he's not willing that any should perish. That's why when there's a little crack in the exterior, that hard heart, that hard exterior, he'll just rush in and try to help, try to get them to keep going that way, try to get them to break it all down. Out there in sin, we experience a lot of bad days. But do you know out there in sin, you experience some good days too. Yes. Do you think those came from the enemy? No. Those came from God. He gave you those few little good days there. He gave those to you. But you're non-repentant. You're full of rebellion. You say, no, it doesn't matter if I have a few good days or anything. You know, I want to be, you know, all the way free. Well, the only way to all get all the way free is through God. But God is so good to give us a few days here and there. Can't you, you know, back out in sin, don't you remember those times? At times when everything seemed to be going your way for a little while. And what did you do? Did you just heap it all on yourself? Did you just say, oh, I'm a good person, or oh, I'm this, or they finally saw my worth, or, you know, they finally realized that I'm the one that's writing this thing, and it was the other person causing all the trouble, and, you know, is that what you do? You explain it all away as to some other circumstances when it's just God showing you goodness, trying to draw you to himself. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good thing you have in your life came from God. It didn't come from the devil. It came from above. It came from God. Every bad thing that is in your life came from the devil. And it's there because of your unrepentant heart. That's why it's there. And then these scriptures go on to say, there's a time coming, there's going to come a thief in the night. There's going to come a time when God comes through the clouds. And we don't even know. My son that just got saved, he said, Mom, he says, I think he's coming soon. He says, I think I'm going to see it. And I told him, I said, well, you know, when I was young, I used to think I wasn't ever going to see it. I wouldn't live to see it. But I said, as I've gotten older, I began to think, I might be here. When he comes, I might be here. I might still be here. You know, that will be quite a day. But there are people having their last day every day. And their last day brings the same results. Wherever the tree falls, that's where it lays. If I go out of this life full of sin, I'm going to spend the rest of my consciousness, eternity, with sin. And all the evils and all the things that come from evil, I'm going to spend it there. If I decide that I'm going to turn to the Lord, then I get to spend eternity with all the good things. See, those few good days that God gave you in the midst of your life, and you really liked those days, those were some good days. And you'll remember them for the rest of your life. You can have those all the time. You can have those all the time. In eternity. Because here, even the saints, who we have many, many more good days than sinners do. But there's still some bad days that we have. Why? Because we live among sinners. We live in a world full of sickness and disease and the evil and sin and the enemy pressing us on every side. But even we have so many good days. So many blessings. It's a wonderful thing. But see, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. It's all going to happen like He said. He's not slack about a lot of things. In John 3 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's just how it is. You must be born again. You must have salvation. You must have on all the armor. Why? Because without the armor, the devil is going to take advantage of you. And there's nothing you can do about it in sin. You have no armor. You have nothing to use against the enemy of your soul. The only reason you're not consumed right now is the goodness of God. Just the goodness of God is the reason why you are not already consumed. Because you know the enemy of your soul wants to consume you. He doesn't want to let you get away. He doesn't want to give you time. God will give you some time. But dear ones, time's running out. Time's running out for so many. They feel like, oh, I just make some good changes. And there's a lot of people out there who have made some good changes in their life. But if it doesn't lead to salvation, what have they got? What have they got? Nothing. God's goodness is meant to lead men to repentance. His goodness is meant for them to be able to see that it just comes from God. That's what He wants them to understand. And He wants them to yield their will to Him. He wants them to give up all the things they think are bringing happiness and whatever to them, when in reality, it's the reason you have bad days. It's the reason why you don't always, not always able to keep it together. It's because God wants you to give up all that other sin and come to Him. He wants you to give it up. If you had someone you dearly loved, and they said, you need to give up this and give up that in order to be with me. There have been many people done that. They have gone out there and they have given up this, given up that, you know, changed this, whatever, just so they could be with that person because they really loved them. But just follow them for a couple of years. And you'll find out that without God, they weren't able to keep it up. They weren't able to keep going forward and making good changes. They began to go back and all these things. And many, many people have said, well, they changed all of this for me to get me, but not to keep me. Do you know that's how God feels? You begin to make some changes, and the Lord says, good, I'm going to go help them. And He holds back the enemy, helps them to make changes in their lives, but they don't glorify God because of it. They pat themselves on the back, or they pat an organization on the back, or they do something, but they don't consider it God. And then after a while, the devil says to God, you're holding me back and everything, but this person isn't serving you. This person doesn't have you as their number one. This person is going out and doing all this and everything with my demons over there, and you're holding us back on this side. And God has to say, just don't take their life. And it all floods back. And someday, it might even take their life. The goodness of God is always meant those good days, those good opportunities that God puts in your path, all those good gifts, all the goodness of the things in the earth that really bring us true satisfaction. All those come from God. And He wants to give you more. But you insist on having sin here, sin there, sin over there. Otherwise, I'm a pretty good person. But I'm not giving up those sins for even God. I'm not giving them up for Him either. Or they think, someday. Lots of people have gone out into eternity waiting for someday. I would venture to say there are more people out there in eternity that were waiting for the someday than those that truly hated God. You know what I'm saying? Those that truly were against God, those that were devil worshipers and truly didn't believe in a God and all those things. There are probably more people with the enemy that we're going to do it someday. God is so good to us. Amen. And it's meant to draw us to Him. We need to let it do that. Amen.